You're running a business out of your garage. And your office? That's the back seat of your truck. It's time to upgrade. A Shop-A-Minium is your own commercial condo, heated, insulated, powered up, and ready to work. Perfect for welders, woodworkers, side hustlers, and folks who need more than a corner of the laundry room. Shop-A-Miniums gives you a pro space without the landlord drama. Call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Shop-A-Miniums today.
Well, you know, when you win all the time, it can happen. It's tough being the best. I just don't know how much longer we can sustain something like that.
Today, we're creating a new story in our history here.
Basketball culture is the culture. It's allowed us to survive and be who we are today.
Centered on the Saints, an indigenous basketball team, this film follows their pursuit of defending the championship title at the 2024 All-Native Basketball Tournament, which has served First Nation communities for over 60 years. Saints and Warriors, the Saturday night feature at this year's Wild Film Fest, October 2nd through the 5th. See the lineup and get your tickets at wildfilmfest.org.
It's homecoming weekend for Sheridan High School, and the Bronc football team will close out the week's festivities with a matchup at home against Cheyenne Central Friday night. If you can't make it up to Homer Scott Field, don't worry. Sheridan Media will bring you all the live action. You can listen on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO, or you can watch our free live stream on SheridanMedia.com or on the Sheridan Media YouTube and Facebook pages. It's Sheridan Bronc football taking on the Cheyenne Central Indians this Friday night. Pregame at 5:30 and kickoff at 6.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, September 30th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Housing Land Trust Administrator, Jamie Rivera, and Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns Executive Director, Christine Dietrich. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, Jamie, let's start with where things stand right now out at the Housing Land Trust. What's the latest update on our construction progress going on?
Well, things are going really well. The first three homes that were donated, we have actually sold already, so we have homeowners in them. So that's a very exciting update. We've got five homes that are going to be ready in the next, you know, month. Ish. The first one's going to have the certificate of occupancy in the next week or so. And so that's really exciting. We're really excited to put more homeowners in these homes quickly. After those five homes, we have about eight that are under construction right now. So altogether, we have about 13 homes that'll be ready prior to December from all three builders, which is really exciting. We've got applications and inquiries coming in. We're just really excited at how things are going, and we think it's just going really well.
Have you been kind of inundated with applications? Are you getting a whole lot?
We're getting a whole lot of inquiries. We've gotten some applications, but just ton of inquiries, lots of questions, which I think is good. It helps clarify in people's mind what the land trust is and how it works. And we've had some inquiries from people that know the current homeowner. So that's been really great, too. They've been really great advocates for us.
Christine, I don't want to go off into the toolies on this subject too much, but there was some pushback from members of the community about this housing land trust. Have those kind of calmed down since getting the information out there? They're starting to see results from all of this.
Right. Yes, we haven't heard a lot of feedback since the Attainable Council dissolved, which is good. It's allowed us to refocus our efforts on the real work at hand.
Yeah. So you're not getting as much, and if so, They're not contacting you directly.
Exactly.
All right. Now, as we look at what's out there right now, if folks haven't seen this, can they drive out there, kind of look around,
yes.
get an eyes on?
Yep, absolutely. So if they drive out Decker Road and turn onto the brand new road, it's called Yellowstone Road. It's just after Mystic Farms. They can drive out there. They can try and drive the loop. There's a ton of construction right now. So if you drive out there, you might be weaving in and out of construction trucks. But it's worth a drive, and it's definitely got beautiful views. And it's just so cool to see so much construction happening all at once and so much progress happening all at once.
How many construction companies you got out there, Christy?
There are three. We're partnered with LaTrac in Yarick and Stone Mill Construction.
So you got three crews out there.
We do, and all three of them have activity on the ground at different phases.
That's amazing. Are there specialties like these individuals do foundations, these individuals do more framing, things like that?
Right. So each developer subcontracts out their own companies for certain layers of work, so yeah. electrical and whatnot, and we don't have any part in that. Our contracts with the builder and who they subcontract with is a decision that the builder makes.
And that's kind of cool. I'm just trying to get a visual in my head as we go through here, kind of one of those time lapse things in my mind. One company comes in, lays down the foundation. Another company comes in, throws up all the framing. And I'm just, they all just kind of go down the line doing that.
Right. And so we're also partnered with the Powers team, and they'll be pushing out a lot of marketing for this project. And one of the things that they're going to be doing is a flyover with a drone. So you'll get a really good bird's eye view of the activity on the ground and what's happening and all of the movement that's going on right now.
Those are great, aren't they? I mean,
it's fun to see it from that angle. Yeah. It's fun to see it from the ground too and see the project come to life. But up in the air, that bird's eye view is just really cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of get the idea of the scope of this project. Sometimes it can be a little difficult when you're standing in one yard to understand just how big all of this is, how many people are actually involved. I mean, this is a major effort, isn't it, Jamie?
Oh, yes, it's huge. You go out there and you just see people working away all over the subdivision. You've got some homes where they're plumbing, some homes where they're putting up walls, and you can drive out 2 days in a row and it's drastically different.
Wow.
We went out one day to get some updated photos, and there was a foundation, and you know, kind of looked like they had the main level kind of framed out. And then the next day we've got roof, we've got, you know, it's dried in almost. It's just nuts how crazy they're going up, or how crazy fast they're going up.
Yeah. Now, you guys held an open house in June at Edelman Drive?
Edelman Drive.
Edelman. Mm-hmm. Edelman Drive. What kind of feedback did you hear from the community and potential buyers as they were walking through looking at that?
Oh, it was really positive. It was really fun to get all the lenders and community members finally through one of the homes and show them this is what we were talking about. This is the quality and, you know, the size and everything that we were talking about. So it was really good feedback. A lot of people were excited. We had some of the neighbors come through and they had positive things to say. Some of the neighbors that are already out there in Riverstone. So overall, it was just really positive. People were really excited about the possibilities that this subdivision is going to bring to Sheridan.
Christine, I got a question about, what it took for us to get here. But before I get there, when I picture a neighborhood, I picture, you know, even a subdivision, I guess you could say. I picture a lot of different houses, all kind of looking the same. What do these homes actually look like? Are these somewhat cookie cutter? Because they are supposed to be just starter homes, but or are they kind of varied?
So not cookie cutter at all. And I think that's one of the misconceptions that some folks might have when they think about Habitat and our building model and what's important to us. And what's important to us and the reason why we chose these three different builders was just having a community feel that's not cookie cutter. And yes, these may be starter homes, but it's important to have a subdivision that moves us away from that perception of what a starter home should look like or what an attainable home should like, and more like what our dream neighborhood should look like. And so yeah. There are varying models to all of these homes, and anyone can go to the website and view and look and see the different models that the builders are providing. There are one story, there are two story, there's three bedroom, and there's four bedroom. There's just a lot of variation that breaks it up because we do want something that blends in, that mimics the neighborhood that everyone wants to live in. That's really important to Habitat.
Now, before they actually start throwing sticks in the ground, do they pull you aside and say, hey, look at this blueprint. What do you think of this layout? Tell us what you see.
Yes, all of that was part of our RFP process. And so the builders were required to send in examples of the homes that they would build out there. Because again, it was our intent to create a community that represented the ideals of Sheridan and the values of Sheridan and the values of Habitat. And they were picked because of that, because of the variations that they had. And there was some feedback that we presented with them to, you know, thoughts that we had where maybe there were four homes that had the same blueprint, but if you flipped it, so you had A and it mirrored B and then A and it mirrored B, that would break it up too. So we had a lot of input into this project as well.
Tim Burton made a film a number of years ago that kind of had some commentary on the subdivision. Showed this one neighborhood. It was all the same house, just different colors. And I think a lot of people kind of get that in their head. Maybe not that scene directly, but something very like that. This is a subdivision. But to know that you can drive in there, and there's a lot of different looking houses, and you've got your choice of what you want your layout to look like. I think that's actually a lot more important to people than what is publicly perceived.
Right, right. And this is the first subdivision of its kind that Habitat has been involved in and has led.
Yeah.
And this is the largest project that we have ever conducted. And so it is critically important to us to have good building partners and to just represent Sheridan as best as we can and represent attainable housing and move away from the perceptions that some folks may have around it.
And you have been involved with this since ground zero, really, since the ideas were even thrown out there. What's it taken behind the scenes to get this village to this stage?
It definitely was a long journey. Collectively, 4 or 5 years from the very start, from when ARPA funds were received to advocating for ARPA funds to be used and designated for attainable housing, to being a part of the committee where we discussed the best use of those funds, et cetera, et cetera. And now here we are. With this project and homeowners in homes. It's absolutely incredible. Certainly was a lot of work, but I was not alone in this work at all. Had very good supporters and partners from the city and from the county and from nonprofits here in Sheridan who were involved in those conversations. It really took all of us to be creative, to be willing to have hard conversations and to dive deep into what it really takes to make a housing land trust be successful, and just leaning into that. So it was a lot of work. It was good work, very public facing, of course, which presented its own set of challenges. But here we are, and it worked. And I think that this subdivision is a really good example of how private public partnerships can really meet a need in the community. So I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of the work that everyone put into it. I'm really proud of our partners from the city and the county and from our donor partners and everyone that made this project possible.
Now, looking forward, let's transport ourselves 5-6 years into the future.
Ooh, let's go there.
Yeah, let's go there. Do you think that this will make a heavy impact on the housing crisis here in Sheridan? Or do you, I mean, because you have kind of an insider's perspective. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows, you know, building homes and getting them up quick and trying to fill this need that I get to talk to better than you. Mm-hmm. So do you really feel that this is going to make an impact, or is this a dent?
This is a good first step to addressing the housing need in Sheridan. And the other piece of that is that this subdivision and any future land trust projects will be attainable in perpetuity. This isn't a one and done housing project. It's not going to serve just one family. It's going to serve subsequent families in perpetuity, providing an attainable home. It's not just attainable for one household. When they go to sell, it's made attainable to the next household. It doesn't ever go onto the market. That's a huge win. We've seen lots of attainable or affordable housing projects in Sheridan that they're a one and done. They serve the need for that little bit of time, however long someone's in the home. It's not going to be the full 30-year loan term for the most part, not likely anyways. It goes to the market. And so your investment of time and resources and funding to make that project possible only lives as long as that homeowner lives in that home. But the way that this is structured and the beauty of it is that that investment then lives on with that one house, that one structure, as long as that structure is still standing, which better be for years and years to come. So it's going to serve multiple households, multiple families, and yes, have a huge impact. And the more projects that we do, that's just going to compound. So it's very exciting. It's very a very creative way to address the housing issue. And it was the reason why Habitat said, yes, this is something that we are going to stand behind and take over and do, because it's important work, but it's also going to help more families over time in a way that we haven't been able to do before.
You and I have had a conversation about this. Basically, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel here. But how many projects like this have you seen? Even maybe not even just under the Habitat umbrella, but any umbrella.
It definitely is a unique way of doing housing in Wyoming. There is an established community land trust in Jackson. And so they have been doing these types of projects for years and years, far longer than we have been, of course. So it's a newer concept to Wyoming. It is not newer across the country. It is not a new concept across the world. But again, that was the other piece in our being confident that this was the right way to do housing and approach housing, is because it has been successful in those communities. So we're not recreating the wheel. We're basing it off of other land trusts that have done projects and learned how to do it and made mistakes and learned from them. And that's been very valuable.
To your knowledge, is this the first time that Habitat has gotten involved in
No.
it? Or, so they've done this before.
Yes, there are examples of other Habitat community land trust partnerships or housing land trust partnerships across the states. Yeah. There's one in Denver. The Metro Wow. Denver Habitat for Humanity manages the what was formerly known as the Colorado Community Land Trust. They manage their land trust projects across the state of Colorado.
Did you contact them, kind of milk them for information as much as you could when this began?
Yes, Jamie and I both have been in communications and traveling and getting to know these land trusts in the region. It was very important to us to focus on regional land trusts.
Like Rocky Mountain region.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, you know, Montana and Colorado were states that we leaned on.
Yeah, we're a little bit different, I think, than just about anybody in all the good ways. All right. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Housing Land Trust and Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop-O-Miniums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, these Shop-O-Miniums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shop-O-Miniums and invest smart.
Get ready to go head over feet for Alanis Morissette in Las Vegas. Century 21, BHJ, and Latitudes Travel are giving you the chance to win a trip for two, including round-trip airfare from Billings, a three-night stay at the Cromwell Hotel, and tickets to see Alanis live at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace October 24th. It's like rain. Wouldn't it be ironic if you won? There's only one way. Enter now on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. Winner chosen October 6th.
Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, a compassionate professional service for the Sheridan community. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. At Sheridan Funeral Home, we respect all faiths, creeds, and customs. We take great pride in our compassionate, professional service. We promise to take care of you and your loved ones with respect and dignity, just as if we were taking care of our own. It is a privilege to be able to serve you when you need us. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
ERA Carroll Realty, Wyoming Corporate Office, and First Federal Bank and Trust ask you to help them fill the bus with food for the food group and the 700 school children assisted with weekend meals. It's as easy as finding the food group bus this Saturday in the Ridley's parking lot from 10 to 2 and donating a food item from the food list found at SheridanMedia.com. Cash donations are also welcome. Come on, Sheridan, help fill the bus for the food group, making a difference one kid at a time. This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Hello, this is Isabella Yellowtail, your 2026 Miss Sheridan Wild Rodeo. I would like to invite you all to our annual Wild Royalty fundraiser at the Sheridan Inn on October 11th. Come enjoy an evening of fun with delicious food and live music by renowned Western artist Jeffrey Michaels, as well as a silent and live auction. For more information or to purchase tickets, go to our website or social media pages, Wild Rodeo Royalty.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Housing Land Trust Administrator Jamie Rivera and Habitat for Humanity, the Eastern Bighorns Executive Director Christine Dietrich. Now, while we were at the break, Christine brought up something that she would like to talk about. I think it's an amazing opportunity for some of our larger employers here in Sheridan County. Talk to me about this.
Yes, thank you. So one of the points of conversation that we've had, the city and the county and Habitat in the structure of the land trust, is filling a need in Sheridan, and specifically filling a need in our workforce for housing for Sheridan. And one of the beauties of the land trust project and housing is that we have the flexibility to meet that need in many, many different ways with the different types of housing that we can build, but also in the different types of partnerships that we can establish to make that happen. And so we are starting to have conversations with employers in Sheridan and discussing an investment in, whether it's Weston Village or whether it's a future project, how investing in a project could secure employee housing. So if an employer really was passionate about housing for their workforce and was seeing that as being a challenge in recruiting and retaining their workforce, they could provide either monetary or in-kind donation towards that project, that let's say it was 25% of the cost of the project, and the Housing Land Trust would reserve 25% of our housing units for that employer, for their employees. So they skip the wait list and they have access to housing right away because their employer valued housing. They valued their employees. They wanted to keep them here. They wanted to attract, a quality workforce to the area. And they invested in this project and now we're able to provide that. So those are the conversations that we're starting to have. They're conversations that I would like to have more of. And so I just wanted to open myself up to employers in Sheridan who may not have heard that we're having these conversations, so that we can just continue and have a meeting and discuss what that could look like. A lot of the feedback that we've heard, and it's just rumblings around town, just the challenges of getting teachers here, the challenges of getting nurses here, the challenges of getting, our lovely folks who are, our servers when we're going out to dinner and enjoying a nice evening out, the challenges that these employers are having in getting people here and quality people here. And Sheridan's a wonderful place to live and to work and to play. And we pitch that in everything that we do. And we need to invest in housing as a way to continue to do that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know. I mean, that'll fizzle out. If I got no place to lay my head, eventually that'll fizzle out. Have any employers sat down with you seriously? I'm not looking for names, but I'm looking for, have conversations like this been held as of yet?
We have had conversations, yes, with two specifically.
Okay, so you have interested parties. Those seem pretty positive?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's a lot to dive into because that could look a lot of different ways. What that contribution could look like, it could be donating the land. So if an employer had access to or owned a parcel of land and then donated that, that's considered a contribution towards the cost of the project. And there are a lot of employers in town who are doing really neat things to try to help. But this is a way where we could just expand upon that and amplify that.
All right. Now, Jamie, I got a couple quick questions for you real fast. You'll have to excuse that. How does it keep these homes affordable, not just for today, but for the future buyers? Now, I know this is something that we've gone over, but for individuals who are like, oh, wow, I'm just hearing about this, how does it stay affordable?
Right. Well, this is unique in the fact that the people don't own the land. They own the structure. And the tool that we use to tie those two together is called a ground lease. And so that ground lease has rules and restrictions in it that maintain the affordability of this in perpetuity. So every year that the homeowner lives in the home, they earn 2% simple interest equity based off of the purchase price, which they purchased it for. So 10 years down the road, a homeowner that bought a house for $230,000 earns roughly $4,600 every year. So in 10 years, that's $46,000 for them. You add that on top of the purchase price, and the next homeowner is still buying these homes for less than it costs to build them.
Now, when it comes to maintenance on these homes, upkeep, things like that, we've all got the vision in our head of that one house in the neighborhood. How do we prevent that from happening?
Well, there's a couple ways we do that. So the ground lease that I just mentioned does have stipulations that they agree to when they sell the home to the next person, that they'll bring that home back up to the condition or similar condition to which they bought the home. The next way is we do have a set of covenants for the area. So there's not an HOA, but they do have to abide by the covenants that were set for Weston Village. And then the final piece, which I would say is probably the largest piece, is the stewardship piece. So my role is not only to help these homeowners get into the home, but stay in the home as well as maintain the home. And so we're not there to be overbearing, but we're there to be helpful and to make sure that their investment as well as our investment is maintained and looking nice and there for future generations to come.
Jamie, where do I go to learn more? And possibly even apply.
Yeah. So you can give me a call at Habitat. My extension is 4, so 307-672-3848. You can go to SheridanHLT.org. There is so much information on there, you could get overwhelmed. But it's a great place to review all the documents. We've got, you know, our ground lease on there, our home buyer selection policy, which just got updated. So it includes remote workers. It includes people that live and work or work in Sheridan and Johnson County. We just updated it recently, and so that's on there as well. So that's really exciting. That opens the door for a lot more people that do live and support our community, even if they maybe are a remote worker but live here. So that really opened the door for a lot more people.
Christine, switching gears on you, yes. The first ever rural rally, part of the Carter Work Project. Can you explain what this means for Sheridan?
This is an incredible opportunity for our affiliate to be involved in the flagship build of Habitat for Humanity International. And so that build annually has been the Jimmy and Rosalind Carter Work Project, which is hosted in different metropolitan cities every year. This year it's in Austin, Texas. And so during that week of building in Texas, their plan is to build 25 homes with thousands of volunteers. They come from all over the United States. But this year, for the first time ever, rural affiliates have been invited to participate. And so there are an additional 60 rural affiliates participating, as well as the main flagship build in Austin, Texas. And we are one of those affiliates. So there are going to be projects all over the United States happening during this week in October, the last week of October, anywhere from home builds to home repairs to educational events. And our event has been structured as one of those educational events. Weston Village has presented just a really great, again, example of what a private-public partnership can produce. And so what our plan is to host a housing panel where we have testimonials from Habitat homeowners and Housing Land Trust homeowners. We have a keynote speaker, and we're inviting VIP invite only. Some of the top officials across the state and in our area to come just learn more about what we've accomplished over the last 30 years, what we're doing now, which is the Weston Village, and then we'll wrap up with the Weston Village tour.
That's okay. That's pretty amazing. When exactly is that taking place?
So that's happening October 29th.
Oh, so about a month away.
Yes.
You'll have all these dignitaries coming to town, and they'll be able to actually see the fruit of all this labor.
Yes. And so we're inviting, you know, our legislators, we're inviting, you know, the city and the county, of course, because they were huge partners on that project. We're inviting donors, previous and past donors. We're inviting previous and past board members, anyone who's really had an impact in us, you know, bringing that scale of housing up to where we used to be 30 years ago to where we are now with the Weston Village that we can tour is going to be incredibly impactful.
You hoping something like Weston Village could take root in other counties?
Absolutely. And Jamie and I have had conversations with folks in other counties and even in Montana about what we're doing here, what the Housing Land Trust is, how they can either create their own in whatever manner or form is possible for them in their community. But we've had conversations all over the state about what we're doing and how it can be implemented in their communities.
I would love to see this happen in other places. There's housing crisis going on throughout this entire country. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in, taking some time out of your very busy schedule to pop in and give me an update on these. It's an amazing feat to actually see finally bearing fruit. It's great to know that there's some people out there already calling it home. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with Sage Community Arts. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hey Sheridan, Greg Hansen here with Pit Crew To You. Right now you can shop our extensive inventory 24/7 at pitcrewtoyou.com, where you'll find all your favorite brand tires at the guaranteed lowest prices. Michelin, Goodyear, Pirelli, Continental, Bridgestone, Firestone, Falcon, Cooper, Kenda, Yokohama, Hankook, Toyo, and more. We also carry farm tires, semi tires, ATV tires, and more. From big to small, we have them all. So when you think tires, think Pit Crew To You, 752-9322.
Have you started having those conversations with others or began thinking to yourself what a new home may look like to you? Hi, this is Colton Bates with the Bates Team at Best, and we want to help you bridge the real estate gap between where you are and where you want to be. Even speaking with an agent can oftentimes feel overwhelming because this is generally the number one financial decision in a person's life. We've helped our clients through a wide variety of situations, and you will always have a thoughtful plan that considers your needs and timeline. Choose a real estate team that will take action on your behalf and deliver. Choose the best. Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net today.
This is Tim Kerr, General Manager at Frackleton's. Downtown is about to taste like autumn. Our new fall menu is coming soon, crafted with the rich, hearty flavors of the season. And while you wait, you don't have to. Our new cocktail menu is already here, with fresh creations and bold twists waiting to be poured. Come in, unwind, and taste what Wyoming autumn feels like. Only at Frackleton's, where every season tastes like a celebration. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Hi, this is Brad at Primate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Tom Hebert here with the Natural History Museum of Wyoming here in Sheridan. We're inviting everyone in the community to come join us and welcome author BJ Hollers for his book reading, Dinosaur Dreams, an adventure he took with his 8-year-old daughter visiting all the dinosaur museums on the Dinosaur Trail in Montana. Come join us, listen to him do a reading, and get him to sign your copy of the book. Again, it'll be October 4th, 7 p.m. at the museum, and we'll see you there.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our Sega Park this morning, I am joined by the Executive Director of Sage Community Arts, Jill Benson. Jill, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having us back.
You've got your little sidekick with you?
We do. We're going too strong today.
She's pretty fascinated with that microphone. I think she's just wondering why I have so much hair on my head.
She's used to a lot of hair, so we're like, okay.
She's getting huge.
She is.
It's amazing how much time has passed since the last time I got to sit and talk with you.
I know. I was trying to think the... Now she actually is like saying full words and just all that we've been doing at Sage, and I'm like, need to be on, get better about getting back on here frequently.
I'm really glad that you had the time to pop in and see me today, though. We got a lot to catch up on because, you've got partnerships that went on through the summer that I want to talk about, fantastic exhibits that are up. So let's start with a broad brush stroke. You'll excuse the pun. What has Sage been up to over the past 6 months?
My goodness, has it been that long? We have just been going at amazing full throttle. The summer was absolutely amazing. We hosted 12 kid camps.
Wow.
Which the energy level, we did have to take that last week after the camps were done, okay. And we had... we couldn't have done it without our partners at the YMCA because they are the kid experts. They knew how to get those classes out there. But then that's why they partner with us, is we're the art experts. We could get all the different bits in there for all the kids to be able to look at and learn. And it was just absolutely phenomenal. And we got to do a lot of really fun stuff with mixing media and also discipline. So we did some art and science, and we had the kids painting and different printmaking. We even went into the written arts.
Oh, wow.
We were doing some storybook writing and model making. That class was so popular, we actually ended up making a second camp of it because the wait list was so huge. We're like, this is silly not to have another class. And it was really neat to see our different instructors that came in for it also, just to see the talent we have in our community and the passion. Because there is a special passion there that is there to be able to teach kids, teach kids art. And that really came through with all the camps this summer. The kids had such great feedbacks. The parents had feedback, like they're just excited to come here every day. And we saw many kids repeat through the different camps to come back to see what we had to offer. And that's, it just makes us feel so great that we are doing something right. We are a place that is answering their needs, and a place that we're cultivating a culture and an environment that feels good for them to come to, a safe space to create and learn and explore and make new connections. Because a lot of the kids didn't know each other, but after that week and getting to create and find that new levels together, they walked away with new friends and new people they could lean on, which is really, really neat.
And going to school, like you said, we may not have spoken in class, but mm-hmm. you and I were both at that one art camp, so now we're best friends.
Exactly. And you can totally see that. And having that different space too, you know, there's, if you've been at the same school for a while, you kind of, you know, it's similar stomping grounds, but this totally neutral place, mm-hmm. you get to just be new and explore. And like, if you want to, you know, especially we were doing camps for like 6th to 8th graders, and it's that tumultuous time. It's like, here's a new place for you to try and explore yeah. what new self you want to look at, what new thing you want to feel. And it was really cool. We had, everyone just got along so well. It was a really great, really great space. The campers were just excited to be there and willing to, they wanted to learn. They were
like little sponges.
They were. It's a, yeah, a great analogy. You know, it's used the age old analogy, but it was so true to see that just they were there willing to be, soak up everything they could.
All right, so you did 12 camps this summer.
Mm-hmm.
How many camps did you do the year before? Because it certainly wasn't 12.
No, we did 6.
You did 6.
So, you know, if you do 6, why not double it to 12?
Well, we're not looking at 24 next year, right?
No.
You found your limit.
Yeah, we're not going to keep doubling. We definitely learned some good stuff of how to keep us as staff motivated so that we can, we were very happy, but I don't want to burn out
yeah.
us so that we can, when we want to still be there for campers. So we understood a good a new schedule that we'll do, and I just can't say enough about the wonderful staff I have, and we've kind of reshuffled some different job duties of who can help coordinate, and it's been really great for me to learn to say, yes, I will accept your help. Okay,
yeah,
here you go. And so that was, you know, and to see the passion that my staff have, like, I really want to help with the kid camps, the after-school programs. That is something that means a lot to me. I'm like, okay, I can take that off my plate to someone who's, not that I don't have passion, but they are like driven to do yeah. it. They, you can just see that that's where they want to put their energy and time. And I'm like, I'm really very happy to do that, because then I can shuffle some other stuff that would be better on my plate. And, you know, laying out the shows and stuff, I'm still very, very possessive of how I see the show's layouts. I'm like, perfect, I will do this, you do that, and we'll be able to go that way.
And I'm going to put tape right down the middle of the room, and you stay on your side.
But, you know.
Now, when we look at the several exhibits that rotate through the gallery through the last year, mm-hmm. I've gone down and seen a few myself. There's a couple that stick out for me. Have any stuck out for you? Like, on a personal level, I know, you know, as an administrator, they're like your children, right? You love
right.
them all.
Just love them all.
You love them all. But for Jill, not executive director Benson, has there been any that you're just like fallen in love with?
I would have to say it has been, there's two and similar reasons that they do. The one that we had at the beginning of the year, Kelly Campbell's Flourish. Mm-hmm. That one spoke to me on such a deeper level in what we would be able to do as SAGE for an artist, but then also understanding, you know, what artists need, and kind of this, it felt like a long vision that I had since college was actually kind of starting to come together. I'd always said after college, if I just had the unending money tree from wherever, you know, college optimism, I would have a gallery where we would just have juried shows. We'd be able to have these emerging artists come out. So they had this place, they could build up their CV, be competitive in that transition from college or emerging artists into the professional artist world, because it's so competitive.
That stepping stool.
That stepping stool. And when you know, now really seeing how much the galleries do, they do look at your list. They do see, like, what is your history, what your expertise. And I wanted to be able to have a place where we could build that. And 7 more years than I'd like to admit since then, graduating college, I am now in a place that I get to do that. And turns out it's a nonprofit that I get to run instead of finding the golden tree.
Yeah, the golden goose.
The golden goose. But because seeing Kelly, that she had started taking classes with SAGE 12 years ago, and that was where she found this passion and loved it. And continued to do her art, working with several different instructors through SAGE, and that we got to be this place that she came home to have her first solo show was just magical, and how much it meant to her to see how much her friends and her community showed up for her. Absolutely amazing and stunning that we could, you know, help her along that journey. And it felt so good that I get to be part of that journey and that platform to raise someone so amazing up into this talent that's to help keep building and cultivating.
No matter how many exhibits she holds in her life, no matter where she shows, she'll remember Sage.
Yeah. And that we were such a key point in that, I think, is something super special and means so much to me as a fellow, I say this loosely, fellow artist, but then art appreciator, art community partner, that I got to be that. And, you know, when you step into the arts, humanities, you're like, what is this going to lead me to in a career? Where is this going to go? And that I got to having something so meaningful be part of that is like, okay, that journey of, you know, when you're down to a couple bucks in your account, you're like, someday it's going to be worth it, right? Right? And it was, and it is. And it's a little similar with the show we currently have up, Seth Tummins' No Song for Home. He was a winner of our juried show in 2021. He actually ended up being another winner in 22. But he came out in 21, and he was just this wonderful soul to get to meet. He has the way he talks about art, the way he talks about he says he doesn't paint a specific scene or a moment in time. He paints a feeling and a memory of the space. And his reception was a little smaller, but it made it, the intimacy of it was this new level that we hadn't really felt then, because he was able to talk with each and every one of the people who showed up to his reception.
Wow.
They walked away with this new connection, this new appreciation of how he sees art, how he makes art accessible, because he doesn't have formal training either. But, you know, he's gone to a lot of classes and workshops and really dedicated himself to it, which I think is wonderful to show the different ways you can come to art. You can go to the schools, the prestige that way, but you can also come from other directions. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about art. And he, naming his show No Song for Home, he talked about when he would get to his country home in Tennessee, he would always turn off the radio and be driving down the road to his home. And he's like, what song comes to mind when I'm doing this? And he realized it, throughout the seasons, the different, the hay being hauled or the cattle being moved, the rainstorms, there actually wasn't a single song that said home. There was a feeling, a time, and a space. And so that's where he said no song for home. And that's what he tries to carry into his artwork, that there's no one time or space that he's capturing. It's, he watched a hill for hours and saw how some of the different shadows played, or where a little, some of the salt residue in the hills deposited. And so the feeling, he would try to replicate it, but the way he placed certain things was the more of the memory and the feeling that he had of the space, which was really interesting to hear and see how the crowd at the reception listened to that, because that's just the memories we have of a space. It's like, we might not know exactly where the sagebrush popped up or how the leaves bloomed, but we know the feeling and the memory and the emotions that it evoked. And that's really what he pushes into his work. And that, I think those just spoke to me in this new way of, he didn't go super technical. He went into this way that, and it spoke to both the art creator and the art lover of, how you can appreciate it, even if you're never going to pick up a brush in your life, but you know the feeling, what each brush stroke did because of his story behind it.
And if it's emotion and memory pushing that brush or guiding that brush, it can be anything.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't have to be set in stone.
Yeah.
I'm running out of time with you. Let's talk about what's next.
Oh boy.
Give me your 1 minute sell on the next one and then a real quick call for Art.
All right. The immediate next show will be the Waddell Waddell, A Legacy of Line and Color. Erin Waddell and her father, Theodore Waddell, will be displaying this beautiful father-daughter exhibition. It will open October 23rd and run through November 22nd. It's a little bit different. Some stuff, if you notice, the 23rd is actually a Thursday. That will be the same day we have our reception.
Okay.
Just spicing things up a little bit with some stuff we're doing. Truly an amazing collection, how well the work goes together, but also how vastly different they are. They've created a lot of the work together. Their colors are kind of similar in certain pieces, but the way they create is just very different. But there's a harmony that's a great of father-daughter, I think, really plays on there. So that's immediately coming up. And then opening this week is our call for art for our national juried photography show, Black and White. Our juror this year is going to be, his name is Andrew Pigeon. He is actually an instructor of mine from a gallery management class I had, and he's a phenomenal photographer. He is back in New York right now, and he's worked in high-level art galleries focusing on photography. Black and white is one of his passions, and I think what he's going to pull for this show is just going to be absolutely amazing. And that call opens this week and will close the 1st of December.
Jill, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much,
and,
Lloyd.
She's beautiful. She's growing up.
She's talking. She's great.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30-plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make you a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Primerate Motors, 2305 Coffin Avenue, and online at primeratemotors.com.
Playing tonight at your Centennial Theaters, one battle after another is rated R. Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie rated G. Downton Abbey, the grand finale is rated PG. Him is rated R. A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey is rated R. Demon Slayer is rated R. And starting October 3rd through the 5th, celebrate the official release party of A Showgirl in Theaters with Taylor Swift. See a movie at your theaters.
ERA Carroll Realty, Wyoming Corporate Office, and First Federal Bank and Trust ask you to help them fill the bus with food for the food group and the 700 school children assisted with weekend meals. It's as easy as finding the food group bus this Saturday in the Ridley's parking lot from 10 to 2 and donating a food item from the food list found at SheridanMedia.com. Cash donations are also welcome. Come on, Sheridan, help fill the bus for the food group, making a difference one kid at a time.